If you weren't born with a trust fund, but feel like you should have one, you are in the right place. Welcome to Old Money, a podcast dedicated to breaking down the new rules to living well and getting wealthy. I want you to build a life and a legacy that feels rich in every sense of the word. And while I don't have any insider trading secrets, I do have some secrets about how getting rich is actually an inside job. I'm your host, Amber Evenson. Now, let's get into it. Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast to help you build the trust fund you wish you were born with. I'm your host, Amber Evenson. Welcome back to the show, baby. If you pushed play today, if you are tuning in today, congratulations, you are aligned with your higher self. Congratulations, you are aligned with the future version of you. That is the wealthiest girl you know. And you know, we're not just talking about what's in your bank account. We are talking about all of the levels of wealth, all of the measures of wealth. We're talking about relationship wealth, health wealth, time wealth, purpose wealth, all the things. Welcome back to the show. Things have been so crazy over here. Between what's going on in the agency, which is all great. We've just had a lot of new hires, interviewing, new clients onboarding, trying to navigate business in the 2025 era is just challenging in general. So the business is good, but it's keeping me very, very busy. We just got married. I'm not even over that yet. I feel like I'm still planning our elopement. We haven't even talked about the elopement on the show, but trust me, it's coming. And then we have a couple other family events coming up here soon. We have a honeymoon on the horizon. I am so excited for, but that's a whole lot of planning. I mean, this is one time where I'm like, we should have hired a travel advisor, but I like to do it. That's why I don't hire somebody. Like, it's joyful for me, but in a season where things are so busy, it kind of just feels like, oh my God, it's another thing I have to do. Plus, there's been a ton of personal stuff going on behind the scenes for Justin and I. For myself personally, I've been going through what I can only equate to like a dark night of the soul of like so much personal development work that has been rocking my whole foundation. I mean, you know what I say, and I didn't come up with this. I heard this somewhere else, but they say new level, new devil. And, you know, I felt like I was in a really great place with business and relationship and money and all the things. And then the higher up you go in your development, and this is not a Scientology pitch, whether you want to go higher up or deeper in, whatever analogy works for you, there's more to uncover. There's more to unpack. There's a new level of discovery and work and pain, honestly. So I've been going through so much transformation. I would not be surprised if I looked like a totally different person right now than I did 5 months ago, but I feel like a different person. I really do. And I'm really excited about what's been happening for myself because in the learning and the studying that I've been doing from so many different teachers and modalities, I keep going like, holy shit, this also relates to money. This also is cash consciousness. This also ties back into exactly what we have been talking about, like how to get out of financial fight or flight, how to really emotionally regulate. And I feel like I have even better tools now than I did last year, than I did last month. My God. And it's honestly just my life feels so much easier. It really, really does. One of the things that I've been working on just as a little insight to me is really uncoupling from my workaholic tendencies and trying to understand what is going on there. Like, why am I such a workaholic? And I'm going to get real deep with you really quick. The real reasons that people are, and myself included, workaholics is they could be avoiding something. Because if you're so busy working, you have no time to think, you have no time to feel. So what is the root cause of the workaholism? If you're avoiding something, what is it that you're avoiding? What is the impermissible feeling, emotion, event, trauma, situation that you're avoiding facing and you're just working instead? And the interesting thing about these, I'll call them positive or positively associated addictions, is that we get a lot of praise for them. We often see good results from them. I mean, it's not like I'm doing crack in a back alley because I'm avoiding my feelings. I'm working and building a business and giving people jobs and helping my clients and doing all the things. But am I doing it to avoid something? That's something that we're uncovering right now. Or another reason people tend to be workaholics
is not just because they're avoiding something, but because they are so at their core, so fearful of something that they feel like controlling every aspect or every person or every job is the way to find peace, is the way to find safety. And that controlling, that being involved in everything, that working on every single piece of the business. And it's another positive addiction, right? That control mechanism for people usually makes them feel safe and in control. But when you're controlling, now we've gotten into negative territory, right? And that control mechanism is there to protect a piece of you, the inside of you that feels deeply unsafe in trusting people to get their job done or in resting. Like, do you earn rest or do you just get to rest because you're a human? So that's just, a scratch of the surface of things that I've been working through thinking on. But what's different about this particular journey for me is that I've gone past intellectualization of it all because I've always been super self-aware, always. But now I have some real tools and real coping mechanisms that are healthy, that are actually helping me rework those core beliefs. And if you've been in cash consciousness, you know this. Like, we talk a lot about how to rewire these core beliefs, but I'm doing it now at a rapid rate that is so intense, it scares me. I now have these in the moment checkpoints where I can bounce back from an emotional reaction or a bad situation in minutes, in moments, in seconds in some cases. And it's not affecting me or the rest of my day. I didn't realize how much of that residual I was carrying around with me before. You're probably like, what is the point of this whole podcast, Amber? Like, we don't need to be in your therapy session. Well, here's where this all is coming to a head is that, I have loved working on old money. It is my most favorite thing that I get to do. And yet it seems like it always comes last because I am now trying to not work so much. So I'm not working all weekend, which I had been doing for all of last year. Every single weekend I was working Saturday and Sunday. And this last weekend I took the whole weekend off and I actually feel great about it. But I feel a little uncomfortable with this new way of being, right? And I'm trying to uncouple from the workaholic tendencies. I'm trying to give myself some real self-care and some real self-development. Not just talking about it in an hour with my therapist while it's jammed in between two client calls, but like really taking some time. And here I have this amazing thing that I get to work on. And I'm like, why am I always prioritizing it last? So I needed a new way to think about it. I needed a new way to think about everything. And I started to really play with some of these mental models. Okay. So today's podcast is all about 10 mindset hacks that you can use to manifest more of whatever it is you want in your life. And I call this a million-dollar mindset because these are all proven principles, thoughts, or ideas that successful people implement in order to run their lives. And I remembered a model, a mindset hack, a piece of information that I had forgotten. I know it's in my brain somewhere, but I was like, oh, that's the thing I need to be worried about. I've been using all these metrics, all these KPIs, all of these different things in my life to measure my success. And when I remembered this one thing, everything changed for me. And I allowed myself a little bit more freedom to, instead of putting old money last, make it the thing that I put first because it's the thing I like the most. And mental models are really, really helpful in all areas of life. And a mental model essentially is just a mode of thinking. It's a way of thinking about things. A mental model is a framework, if you will, to help you make decisions or evaluate or move through your life or your day or your business in a way that's consistent. Let me give you a couple of examples of mental models. These are not within my million-dollar mindset hacks, but these are probably mental models you've heard of before. The first one you've probably heard of is the 80-20 principle. You've heard of this, right? The 80-20 principle basically states that 80% of your outcome is going to come from 20% of your effort. It's a pattern where a small portion of high-quality input creates the majority of your output. So the whole point of the 80-20 principle is to ask yourself, where can I get the biggest results with the least amount of effort? So it's going to help you if you look at things that way, like, okay, if I'm going to just use 20% of my time to create 80% of my results, where am I going to have the biggest bang for my buck? So examples of this in practice mean, like in sales, for example, usually 20% of your clients bring in 80% of your revenue. Or in time management, when you look at your day, usually about 20% of your time spent is going to drive 80% of your results. So if you take your day, for example, and you break it up into percentages, you're going to be answering emails in meetings, you know, reviewing work. But if your job is sales, what's going to make you money is you getting on the phone for the 20% of your day where you pick up and dial. Another framework or mental model is, I've talked about this before, but this book called 10X is Easier Than 2X. It's by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy. And what it talks about is that when you try to 2X your growth, i.e. if you're making $1 million in your business today and you want to make $2 million next year, you have to think about incremental improvements to what you're already doing. So, okay, this is how I made $1 million. I want to make $2 million. I just have to do double the work, right? But 10X growth requires you to basically throw out what you did to get to $1 million and rethink your approach to make things more at scale, more automated, more systemized. Because if you had to 10X from $1 million in revenue to $10 million in revenue next year, you would have to have a completely new service offering, team, system, et cetera. And when you implement the service offering, team, system, or whatever it is, you typically make things simpler, not harder, because you eliminate everything that's just a non-essential. So when you think in 2X versus 10X ideas, it's a mental model to help you get rid of things that are just not effective or efficient. So the mental model that I remembered is what inspired this entire podcast. I'm gonna make it item number 10. I'm gonna keep you on the hook for the whole episode. I'm gonna tell you it changed the entire way that I approach my weekends, my weeks, my job, everything. And it is a mental model that is going to make you more money. My goal for you today is when you listen to all of these mental models, I want you to pick one millionaire mindset hack, just one. I've got 10 for you today, plus these two bonus, the 80-20 and the 2X versus 10X. And by the way, there are so many books about those two topics, but I want you to just pick one. Just pick one hack that you can apply over the next week to focus on, because when we focus on one thing, we usually get it. Actually, that could be another mental model. You've heard me say this before, but there's an analogy, or I think it's a Russian proverb, where it says, if you're chasing 10 rabbits, you'll probably catch none. And it's about if you have too many goals or too many focuses, you probably won't be able to achieve them all. But if you have a singular focus and put all of your effort towards one idea, it's likely to materialize for you. So I want you to pick one mental model, one millionaire mindset hack to apply over the next week. And every single day, I'd like you to just journal about it. Just say, how did you apply it? How did it feel? What is changing for you? And then see what your results are like in a week. By the time you download next week's episode, by the time you tune in for another episode of Old Money, you will have had 7 days of practice with this mental model. And we know what consistency brings. It brings results. So if you can practice one millionaire mindset hack for 1 week, I guarantee you will have some improvements in your life. So let's get into it. Millionaire mindset hack number one is that you can never out-earn your self-image. Wow. That's a heavy one. Damn, Amber, that was a big one to start with. Some of these other ones are a little bit easier, but that one I think is so important. What does that mean? You can never out-earn your self-image. The law of reflection, this is a spiritual law of reflection, suggests that the outer world as you experience it is just a mirror of your inner world, because you don't see things as they are, you see them as you are. So your experiences with relationships and love, your experiences with work and coworkers and bosses and money and time and the availability of opportunities are all reflecting the quality of your beliefs and your relationship with yourself. We have talked about TFAR so many times, and if you took Cash Consciousness, you know that there's a B before TFAR. Beliefs influence your thoughts and your feelings and your actions and your results. Your beliefs influence your thoughts. Our thoughts are just really running on autopilot in our head. A lot of people say that we have 60 or 90,000 thoughts in our head per day, and 80% of them are just on repeat. How interesting is that? The 80-20 principle. So if there's 80% of your thoughts that are just running on repeat through your brain, what are those thoughts? Are they just things you picked up from a TV commercial or beliefs that were instilled in your brain when you were a little sponge in the age of 4? What are the things that are running in the background of your brain? And where can we put some effort into changing the 20% of our thoughts that we are conscious of so that they move us in the direction we want to go? Because money follows identity. High earners see themselves as valuable. They see themselves as capable. They see themselves as deserving and powerful and of people that should be well compensated. Your belief sets your ceiling. So if you subconsciously believe you're only worth, $75,000 a year salary, then that's where you're going to stay. So you're not going to apply for the job for 100K. You're not going to start the business. There's going to be a little niggling thought in your head that says, oh, no, that's not for me. So the mental model here is to recognize that you can never out-earn your self-image. So if you want to be earning more, we need to be working on some inner upgrades, right? Your self-image work. And there are so many different practices that go along with that. Self-image work can include affirmations, journaling. It can include talking to yourself in the mirror every morning. Telling yourself, remember, we always talk about this as the reference point, the movie The Help, you is kind, you is smart, something like that. I don't remember exactly how it goes. But when you have a self-image that is strong, capable, and knows that it is worthy of divine compensation for the value and the talents that you bring, it becomes so much easier to attract money. Millionaire mindset hack number 2. You've heard me say this before. Think in terms of ROI, not cost. Sure, there is a cost for everything. The cost might be money, it might be energy, it might be time. Anything that you are getting, there might be an exchange, right? So when you ask yourself, what is the return on this investment of time, energy, or money? You are thinking the way a millionaire thinks, because wealthy minds prioritize investments that multiply value, not just save money. So let me give you some really easy examples, okay? The first one is gas prices. There might be a gas station across town where the gas is 20 cents cheaper, but to get there, you have to drive through traffic, it's out of the way, and it's going to burn time. What's more important, saving 20 cents a gallon on your gas or getting home to your kids more quickly? Another example, the one that I use all of the time, is the time that I have for fun, the time that I have for rest. I am working so hard during the week. Every moment is scheduled, whether it's waking up early to walk my dog and listen to a business podcast, to getting on calls, pitching, recording this podcast, spending time with Justin, walking Poppy. All of those things are important to me. And when it comes to a Saturday morning, the last thing that I want to do is go to Thunderdome, aka the Costco parking lot, and fight my way through Costco to get all of my groceries for the week. If I don't do that, I'm not going to have healthy food in the house. If I don't do that, I'm not going to eat as well as I want to. I love shopping at Costco because it helps us prep our food and stay really organized and just stay on our healthy diet. So I'm going to choose to value my time and invest in an Instacart shopper because time is a non-renewable resource, but I can get more money all the time. If it's buying me time back that I can spend being with Justin, going to a workout, spending time with Poppy, resting, reading a book, it's going to be a positive impact. So yeah, it's probably cheaper if I go to Costco and shop on my own. It's going to be more expensive after I add in the DoorDash fees, or not DoorDash, I'm sorry, Instacart, and the tip and whatever else. But quite frankly, I rather do that so I can buy my time back because millionaires treat time like gold. They guard it. They don't waste it. And they're going to be looking at things like, what's the return on my resource? In that one, I rather give my resource of money versus my resource of time and energy. So it's a no-brainer to invest in Instacart. Do not fall in a trap, however, of justifying all of your Uber Eats or DoorDash purchases, because that is exactly why we do Costco once a week, so that we can avoid being super hungry at the end of a busy workday and ordering food to take out all the time and racking up a really large bill. We do it very strategically, very seldomly, and we do it in a way that benefits us, not because we're desperate and need some food. So if you are going to analyze your time or your energy or your money in terms of ROI and not cost, you might think that it would cost you less to clean your house, but what are you giving up instead? What's the opportunity cost? If you're cleaning your house all day on Saturday and then skipping your daughter's soccer game, is that cost too high? What's the return on investment of you hiring somebody from Thumbtack or Upwork or whatever to come clean your house? Although that might be more expensive than you doing it yourself, the ROI, the return on the investment of doing that, is a better connection with your daughter, being able to be there for her, the relationship, et cetera. And quite frankly, you just can't put a price on that. Millionaire mindset hack number three is that decision-making is an Olympic sport. I am such a good decision maker. I am ruthlessly decisive, so much so that like it could be offensive. Even when I'm eating something at a restaurant and Justin offers me a bite of his, I'm like, no, thank you. I'd made my decision. My decision is what I'm eating. I don't know why my mind is that way, but I love to just make a decision and then go with it, because making a decision is how to move forward. Like, it's just taking a step. And the thing about decision making is that people often get paralyzed and they don't make decisions, or they ruminate over decisions. And I will say this, indecision costs a lot. It costs a lot of time. It is also a choice. Deciding to not make a decision is a choice. But if you can treat decision-making like an Olympic sport and just decide quickly and then adjust as needed, you will be so much farther along than somebody who ruminates and hems and haws and pros and cons lists over all of the decisions in their life. This is why Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg eliminate the decision from what they're going to wear in the morning. I mean, RIP Steve Jobs or whatever. And I know that Mark Zuckerberg totally stole this from him. And now he's on this crazy, like, Amiri gold chain, like, Meta glasses situation. He's dressing like he's in the hood. I don't understand it. Good for you, Mark. I hope you're happy. But it's about speed of execution. It's just like, get dressed, move on to the next thing. I want to go make more impactful decisions. High earners make informed decisions fast. It's not just being reckless and ruthless. You're not acting off of impulse. You're not being reactive, but you can take a step back, look at the facts, make an informed decision, and then iterate every step of the way. And with this mentality, you really can't make a wrong decision. The only wrong decision you can make is not making a decision. How is that to be? Because let's say there's a binary choice. It's either yes or no. And you pick yes, and you decide that the right answer was no. Well, now you're on the yes train, right? Think of like a flow chart. You were at the decision point. There was a yes and a no. You went down the yes path, and then you feel like the right answer was no. Okay, well, then you figure out how to make another decision to say no, to go to the no path. You just keep making decisions. Nothing is set in stone. Nothing is permanent. And everything can continue to be changed through new decisions. So if this week you focused on making decision-making an Olympic sport for yourself, that would mean when somebody asked you what's for dinner, you would give an answer. You would just make a decision. You would honor yourself. When somebody asked you, would you like to volunteer for the school bake sale? And you in your head went, nope, I don't want to do that. Then you would say, respectfully, I decline. And you would stop saying yes to things you didn't want to do, and you would make decisions, and you would feel confident about them because you would trust yourself. Because remember, step number one, you're working on your self-image. The better you can do to honor yourself, the more decisions are going to become easy for you. And it is a muscle. Making decisions is a muscle. Everything from deciding on what to wear to what to have to dinner to which way to drive home every day, that is a decision that you can use to build your muscles and build confidence in yourself that, huh, I made a decision and it worked out okay. And if it didn't work out okay, I knew how to make another decision to keep moving forward. Millionaire mindset hack number four goes perfectly with number three, and it is that rejection is just redirection. You might have heard this before in terms of dating. Some people say rejection is God's protection. That's another way to look at it. I just kind of hate to make people negative, like people that we date that don't work out. We don't need to say like, oh my God, God protected me from them. But what's happening here is that we're deciding to reframe what happened to us. We create meaning out of what happened to us. You can go the analytical route. A rejection is just redirecting you onto the path, whatever that path is that you believe, whether it's God's path, universe path, you're just getting redirected back to the right path. But that's not really what it's about. It's not just leaving it there. The millionaire mindset hack is that they are always able to reframe a negative instance into something positive or neutral. You recalibrate. Whether you talk about it as a rejection, or you talk about it as a failure, or you talk about it as a spiritual assignment, you choose the meaning that you attach to what happened to you. So you can lament all day long, oh my God, he broke up with me. Oh my God, I didn't get the job. You can hem and haw. You can go back and forth. You can waste a lot of energy being in the state of observing and being sad about what did not come to be, or you can choose to put that same volume of energy, that same amount of energy, that same potent energy into something that's going to move you forward. This is a perfect complement to decision-making as an Olympic sport, because if something quote-unquote negative happens to you, i.e. a no, a rejection, a dumping, a failure, whatever, you decide to reframe it. You might have had a really hard few months. You might have had a really tough year. You might have had a really tough, I don't know, election cycle, whatever it is that is bothering you. You can decide to let it bother you every day, or you can reframe the situation to find the value in it so you can get some insight. You can stop calling it a failure. You can stop saying it was terrible, and you can make a new decision and recalibrate and move forward. I've had a really tough few months. I've had a really tough past few years, if I'm going to be really honest with you. And yet I am happier than I ever have been, because I know all of the challenges that have been placed at my feet, have come across my desk, whatever has happened, have been things that I need to learn, work on. Everything is a spiritual assignment. Everything that has gone wrong, I get to reframe it as, oh my gosh, I learned so much. I developed so much. I am a new person today. So the millionaire mindset hack is reframing something negative. Let's make it positive. Or if we can't make it positive, let's at least make it neutral. So you didn't get the job that you applied for. Okay, that wasn't the job for me at this time. Don't burn that bridge. Keep in touch, and maybe they'll hire you on the next round. I literally did that with somebody recently in AF marketing that was so great and so talented, and I couldn't hire them when I wanted to hire them, but they stuck around and I hired them on the next round. Rejection is just redirection. Item number 5 on our millionaire mindset hack list is that millionaires are comfortable getting uncomfortable. I know we hate this one. I'm so sorry. I know. Nobody wants to get in an ice bath. Nobody wants to take a cold shower. Nobody wants to have a hard conversation. Nobody wants to put in time at the gym. Nobody wants to be wrong. Nobody wants to go into the office anymore. Ugh, it's uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable to do things that are not me rotting away in bed in my pajamas with my dog sleeping at my feet. Everything other than that is uncomfortable to me, if we're being totally honest. But in the world of business, the more uncomfortable I get, the more successful I come. I just paused this podcast to go do a pitch with one of the biggest developers that we've ever been courted by. And first of all, it was uncomfortable to pause this podcast and then put on that different, you know, energy and research. And when I was on that call, I could feel like physiologically my heart was beating. I'm playing it cool, of course. I'm like looking at my notes frantically. I'm like trying to be present. I'm looking at their pages, whatever. My heart was beating frantically. It's uncomfortable. Like, I want to win the contract, right? But I know that every time I have a call like that, it makes me better. It makes me sharper than the next one. This call went really well, by the way. But tolerating discomfort. The first time I did a sales call, I was so uncomfortable. And now I'm talking to like a multinational, multi-billion dollar publicly traded company, and I'm calm, concise, straightforward, charming, curious, confident, all the things. It took me a lot of practice to get there, you guys. It took me a lot of practice to get there. And in order to build the tolerance towards that discomfort, it took a lot of reps. And that's why people get in ice baths. Yeah, okay, you can say that the cold water, like, you know, reduces inflammation and helps you burn brown fat or whatever. That's not what that practice is about. The practice of getting in an ice bath is about learning to tolerate discomfort and allowing your body to know that it's safe. You got you. It's training you to tolerate the discomfort, knowing that you got yourself and you're going to be okay. It's a mental game. Hard conversations are the exact same thing. If you're dating somebody at the beginning and you just never have the conversation about what do you want out of this relationship or what are you interested in building with me, then you know what happens is that you're 5 years into a situationship. Having a hard conversation can be scary, but here's the thing. I gave you number 4 before I gave you number 5 because if you get quote unquote rejected, it's okay. You know that it's just redirection. You get to reframe that. You get to 5 years into your situationship say, hey, what are we doing here? And they say, oh, I don't want anything serious. And you say, well, I want to get married, but thank you so much for the amazing 5 years that we had together and I'm going to move on. Because remember, number 1, you've been working on your self-image. Don't you love how these all tie together? If you can get comfortable being uncomfortable, you can ask for what you want even when it's a little scary. You can be in the gym and lift a little heavier than you think that you can. It's the things that you do that are uncomfortable that are going to net the most growth. And that might be muscle growth, that might be business growth, that might be relationship growth, that might be self-growth. It's very uncomfortable for me right now to be really diving into all of my psychology, all the drama of me. It's honestly like really painful. I'm not gonna lie, it sucks. But I know that it's uncovering the next level of me and I'm very comfortable being in that space. So if this was the millionaire mindset hack you were going to try on for size this week, this is actually kind of an easy one. I would, for every day for 7 days, take a really cold shower. Blast yourself with cold water. Do it for 7 days. Do it every day for 7 days, 30 seconds, just to prove to yourself you can do it. Because you can do hard things, as Glennon Doyle likes to tell us. Or maybe you're going to lift a little heavier than you normally do at the gym. Maybe you're going to ask ChatGPT to help you prep for a really hard emotional conversation to see how you can get some guidance and support through it. What you're going to do this week is honor yourself in those uncomfortable moments. Like when I touched my heart, when I was in that call, I did a really quick checking in with myself. How does my body feel? I put my hand on my chest and I noticed, oh wow, my heart's beating pretty fast. Cool, let's slow that down. Being uncomfortable is where all of the magic happens. It's really annoying for me to say that, I know, but it's true. Millionaire mindset hack number 6 is that millionaires know to bring their friends along. What do I mean by that? Obviously, when you rent the big yacht, you're gonna have so much more fun when all your friends are there. But also, they know that they shouldn't work alone on big visions. Collaboration over isolation all day, baby. Millionaires build huge teams to support their businesses. They run a family office, they have an attorney, a CFO, they have financial advisors or financial analysts, they have advisory boards, they have networks, they're involved in different community groups and professional groups because they know that you can go far alone, but you can go farther together. Let us not forget, millionaire mindset hack number 2 is that we're thinking in terms of ROI, not cost. So hiring people and paying them to do what they're really, really good at so you can do what you're really, really good at is a really positive ROI because you get to focus your energy and your attention on the things that you're great at, the things that come naturally and easily to you, and you get to outsource all the things that don't. Now, not working alone on a big vision, that might mean hiring a chief marketing officer. That might mean hiring a strategist or graphic designer. That might mean hiring a housekeeper. If you have a big vision to have a totally integrated into the community family and you are so involved in your schools and your churches and you are the mom that's doing all of the things, you cannot do everything alone. Maybe you have a housekeeper. Maybe you have a meal prepper. Whatever your big vision is, there are going to be some people out there that are going to allow you to put your energy into the place where it's going to give you the best ROI, where you're going to be the happiest. And then they can help collaborate on your big vision to support you to get where you want to go. That dovetails perfectly into item number 7, which is invest in who you want to become. Invest in who you want to become. First, number 1, you have to figure out what do you want to become? Who do you want to become? And then how can you get closer to the people who are living the life that you want to live or have mastered the skill that you want to master or who are executing on the big vision that you have for yourself? Now, maybe your big vision is to be financially independent and retire early. Maybe your big vision is to, I don't know, stop overspending. Maybe your big vision is to run a business. Maybe your big vision is to, like I said, run the best family in your neighborhood. whatever it is, there's somebody out there who wants to teach you what they did. They want to talk about what they did. Whether it's coaching, whether it's masterclass, whether it's education, or it's a strategic hire, like we talked about in the last one, whoever it is that's going to help you do your big vision, there are so many people that you can be investing in that are going to help you propel your life forward in such a meaningful way. I'm not kidding you that when I tell you I have spent so much money in the last 2 months on personal development, not just in person, but courses, books, time, the amount of time that I've spent, holy cow. I know and I have so much clarity on the type of life that I want to live, the type of day-to-day I want to have. So I've been investing like a mad woman in it. And if you do the work, the results will come. It's kind of like going to the gym. You just have to keep going to Orange Theory Fitness. Even if you do the bare minimum, your body will change. If you invest in who it is you want to become, where you want to be, the people that you want to be around, remember, proximity is power. So don't wait to be ready. Just start learning, hiring, moving as if you're already there. Investing in even just being around people's energy can be such a game changer. Like I'm telling you, I have been investing in people's energy recently. Like somebody has good energy or a good mindset, I'm buying their course, I'm listening to their stuff, and I'm listening to it on repeat until those become the beliefs that are running through my head through conscious reprogramming. I am going to choose the conscious thoughts that I have, so I'm going to choose better every single time. And we're not just investing with our dollars, we're investing with what TV we listen to, what podcasts we download, where we spend our time socially. All of these produce an ROI, right? Like if you hang around a group of friends that are constantly bringing you down, what's the ROI on that? It's probably going to be negative. So you might be investing your time into some negative television right now. Like somebody asked me if I'm watching The Valley. I can't watch The Valley on Bravo right now. It is the most toxic cesspool of television. And I have a pretty high tolerance for that stuff, but it kind of infiltrates your brain on a certain level. You're watching these people argue, be totally crazy. They're using straw man arguments and red herrings and abuse, and yet we watch it for entertainment and we don't think that that accidentally seeps into our psyche. I don't think so. I have to make sure that I'm investing my time and energy, especially my free time, in something that's enhancing my mind or that's, you know, expanding my mind. And I'm not saying that I'm going to give up reality TV for good. You want to know what we just watched? Paul American on HBO Max. Now, I'm not saying that's not toxic, but there's not screaming and fighting and conflict on the show. There's just some toxic masculinity, that's for sure. But I'm interested in their business. I'm interested in how they grow with partnerships. I'm interested in their media. I'm interested in how they think about creating a moment for social. I'm interested in all of that type of stuff. So I gained a lot. I mean, that's my job, for goodness sakes, from watching that show. So when I'm investing my time, my energy, my money, I want to make sure it's putting me in the direction of growth. And speaking of growth, millionaire mindset hack number 8 is learn how to play the long game. And the reason why that's important is because if you are always focused on dopamine hits, fast cash, whatever is going to return you quickly, you're going to be a day trader in the time and energy of life. And you've lost the plot. Now, when I say play the long game, I also say that tongue in cheek, because the reality is that it is a game. That's what we can't forget. There are so many ways to win in the game of life. There are so many ways to win. And when we focus on playing the long game, what usually happens is that we set aside these distractions. We usually don't have as much shiny object syndrome, and we stay committed to our path. Without distractions, with focus, we can play the long game, focus on building assets. We focus on compounding. We focus on strategic wins, not fast hits. It's like the difference between creating a sustainable business that's traded on the S&P 500 and winning a scratchy lottery ticket. If you want to talk about somebody who's playing the long game well, I would look at Kris Jenner. I mean, she's the one that from the very beginning, regardless of what anybody said, she kept on the path of helping her daughters promote themselves and building something that over time has become unshakable. They're all billionaires, right? They might have failures in business. They might have tried a million different product types, all these different perfumes. Some things hit, some things don't. But between Skims, between Kylie Cosmetics, Good American, now this Cloud Food, Poosh even, they all have these crazy huge conglomerates and they've created this legacy and it's all built around family, right? She's been playing the long game since the very beginning, since the you're doing great, sweetie, since the first house that they were shooting in when they were doing all of those skits, they were making themselves a spectacle because Chris knew I just want attention on my family and that will net something for us. She's been playing the long game for a really long time. So if this is something you were going to focus on this week, I would suggest you figure out what that long-term vision is. I'm talking like deathbed vision. I'm not talking about how much money you want to retire with. I'm not talking about how much business you want to build. I'm talking about legacy. I'm talking about generational wealth. I'm talking about the big stuff. What's the long game? What do you want to be remembered for? What's the legacy? And what are you doing today that puts you in a step towards that direction? That might be as simple as having positive conversations with your kids this week about their history and their future, what you see for them. It might be taking a financial literacy class so that you make sure that you're not passing on bad financial habits to your kids, because that's also a type of generational wealth or poverty. So when you play the long game and you have a vision for what you want for yourself, for your future, for your kids, for future generations, for this earth, for your community, and you have a vision and you have that as your North Star, those decisions, because remember, decision-making is an Olympic sport, those decisions become so much easier. It's either like, is that in line with my vision or not? Yes or no? Is it a rejection or is it a redirection to my long game vision? All of these pieces all play together so beautifully. And don't we love when that all works out? Because when you have your eyes on the big prize, you get to focus on what really matters. And usually when we talk about those deathbed things, it's more time with our kids, more time with our parents, more travel, more adventure, less time at a desk, less time staring at a screen. It's more health, it's less wealth. It's more love, it's less hate. So when we have the choice to numb out on TikTok for 3 hours or go for a walk with our kids and our dogs, what is the decision? The long game is clear, the decision is made, so there's just no friction at all. Millionaire mindset tip number 9 is to master neutrality and master your emotions. As a highly sensitive person, as a Cancer sun, as I don't know, myself as a girl, I am so sensitive. I'm so emotional. I'm not saying that this is easy by any means, but I'm telling you something right now. Emotional mastery is the secret sauce. And this is what I have been discovering over the past few weeks about the way that I was processing my emotions and what I was doing with them and how they were causing so much chaos in my life. And they were actually running the show of my life versus me running the show of my life. Our emotions are signals. They're important. We should feel them. We like that. All good. I'm not afraid of emotions. But did you know we only feel emotions for like 90 seconds when we're flooded or triggered or whatever has happened? And then it can pass even faster if you learn to master them. And the reason why this is important is because it's usually in the face of emotion where we don't make good decisions. If you're in financial fight or flight or regular fight or flight, your body's having some sort of somatic experience that tells it it's not safe, whether that's swiping a card at Nordstrom, whether that's paying a bill, whether that's looking at your credit card statement, whether that's because you're being chased by a tiger. Your body is freaking out and all of the blood rushes away from your brain and into your extremities so that you can run or freeze or fight or do whatever you need to do. But because there's no blood in your brain, you're not making the best decisions. You've heard me say, don't make decisions when you're emotional. So if you're trying to like move through this world and make decisions like it's an Olympic sport, but traffic is stressing you out and the DoorDash guy was mad at you and you have to call your insurance broker later and you know you got in a spat with your husband about whatever, whatever is going on that's driving your emotions, it's taking the blood away from your brain in order to make those good decisions. When you can zip it up, as Terry Cole likes to say, and deal with your emotions internally, deal with your emotions privately, process your emotions in a really productive way, your overall life, your quality of life becomes so much better. Because when you can master neutrality, and again, we go back into the self-worth, the long game, when you know that you got you and you learn the tools on how to take care of you, which is all that I'm dumping on you in cash consciousness this next round. You guys, I am so excited to share these tools with you. We might have to do a workshop sooner. We might have to talk about this sooner rather than later. I don't know if I can wait till September, because this is changing my life in a very, very meaningful way. But when we start to detach our emotions from things, like we don't find emotional security in money when we know we have emotional security in ourselves. We don't find emotional security in love. We find emotional security within ourselves. We can walk through this earth with such lighter feet. It really does make everything so much more manageable. I need to go into this so much more in a whole nother podcast episode, I think. But if you think back to Charlie Munger, Charlie Buffett, their number one investment advice is to not be emotional about money. They say, invest and stay the course. That's the whole bogglehead method as well. Also, if you look back at like Stoicism, Marcus Aurelius, all of the great Stoics of the world, or Ryan Holiday, who's, I would say, the new Stoic of today's world. He's written books like The Ego is the Enemy. All of these stories and theories and ideas about Stoicism is about uncoupling our emotional responses to the world around us to master neutrality. We're going to need to do a whole nother podcast about this and why it's important and why it directly ties in with how much money that you can earn, keep, save, invest, make. But just know that that's a really, really key millionaire mindset hack. So if you are going to practice this as the one thing you focused on this week, I would just start getting in touch with when you get emotional. If you can recognize in the moment when you get triggered, when you get flooded, when your body temperature changes, when your heart starts to race. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to do anything with it. You just need to notice it. You need to notice and you can catch it. If you can catch it in the moment, that's kind of the hardest part. If you can catch it in the moment and say, oh, I'm elevated. Oh, I'm agitated. Oh, something bothered me. And you can, instead of just being agitated, you can, as your higher self, look at your actions, look at your behavior, look at the somatic function of your body and say, I'm activated right now. If you can just notice that, all of a sudden that becomes separate from you. All of a sudden that becomes not you. All of a sudden you can gently observe what's going on. That is the hardest part of this whole thing. But if you can practice that this week, I promise you, you're going to be in really good shape for the rest of the summer. Okay. And item number 10 on our $1 million mindset list. This was the thing that inspired the entire show. This was the thing that I had forgotten and that I remembered, is that I get to decide how I measure success, and I decide to measure success based on how much fun I'm having. I don't think there's anything more important than having a good time doing what we're doing, whether it's recording a podcast, working with teams, deep cleaning your kitchen, or picking up your dog's poop. If you're having a good time, it's time well spent. Because a lot of the things that we do in life, number one, they don't pay us. Number two, they don't pay us well. Number three, it doesn't matter. As long as we've got our bills paid, our needs met, and we have the system set up in our lives so that our wealth is growing exponentially behind the scene, we can focus on living the life that we want to live, which is one of ease and of joy and of abundance and of fun and laughter, not just hustle and grind. You don't want to be living like, you know, the dad in Succession. You don't want to be that guy, do you? Miserable, miserly, kids fighting over money and power. I believe that most of us are listening to this show because we are seeking more freedom, joy, ease, love, expansion, abundance in our life. And we can have all of those things right now if we start focusing on having more fun. Because in a state of having fun, that's when all of those things are available to us. When we are in a state of panic, fight or flight, fear, rumination, regret, reflection, we're actually not in a state of ease or joy or alignment. And so when I get to decide how I want to spend my day based on what's fun for me, trusting that, by the way, 20% of my efforts are going to net 80% of the results in my life, which I know to be true, then I don't have to stay committed to the grind and answering every email the second it comes in. I can hire people to help me with that, i.e., item number 7, which is not working alone on big visions. I can make it fun to invest in who it is that I want to become as I'm studying all of these teachers that I've invested in over the last couple of months. And also, I just told you at the top of the show that I'm really working on uncoupling from this workaholic mentality. And it is uncomfortable for me to release the reins. But I know that when things are uncomfortable and I'm tolerating discomfort, that's where the most growth happens. So I'm working through some things, trying to have more fun. It feels uncomfortable for me, but I know that I'm aligned on the long-term vision of my life because the long-term vision of my life is more abundance and fun and love. And if I want to have more fun, then I get to have more fun, and I get to have more fun right now. So you get to decide how you measure success. But I know for sure I don't measure it based on how much money's in my bank account, and I sure as hell don't manage it by how big my team is or how many clients we have. I'm measuring my success based on how much fun I'm having. So if you were going to focus on this for just this week, all you would need to do is focus on having a little bit more fun, and then you'd be incredibly successful. So recapping today's episode, we went through 10 million dollar mindset hacks that you can use to manifest more of whatever it is you want in your life. The first one was you can never out-earn your self-image. Number two, think in terms of ROI, not cost. Number three, make decision-making an Olympic sport. Number four, rejection equals redirection. Number five, get comfortable getting uncomfortable. Number six, invest in who you want to become. Number seven, don't work alone on big visions. Number eight, play the long game. Number nine, master emotional neutrality. And number 10, measure success by how much fun you're having. Again, I want you to pick one principle to work on, to focus on this week. Just one. You don't have to pick all 10. Just pick one to focus on and check in with yourself. Maybe you set a reminder in your calendar, a little task in the morning, a task in the afternoon to remind yourself to check in and just make sure that you're on track. And I promise that you'll see results. Okay, my loves, if you've made it this far, congratulations. You are committed to your wealth. You are committed to your self-development. You are committed to having a millionaire mindset. I want to leave us today with a few shout outs, some mailbox money, if you will, some love notes that I just discovered existed. Now, I don't know if you guys are Spotify listeners or Apple Podcast listeners, but if you are on Spotify, did you know you can leave comments? I didn't. I had no idea that you guys could leave comments, and I just found a little treasure trove of them. And I wanted to shout a few of you out, especially some of these funny ones. So first of all, in response to episode 97, Six Secrets of Building Wealth, Deidre says, not your typical listener, but I've shared episodes with others, especially the Align Your Identity episode, because you are creating genuinely inspired content. I have no idea who the housewives are and don't care about luxury brands. I'm focused on personal finance, and your content is specific and actionable. I am a 55-year-old woman with a 30-year career in interpreting, about to pivot as I begin my MBA journey. I look forward to your weekly episodes, and I'm grateful for your informative podcast. Deidre, I am grateful for you. Congratulations on that amazing pivot. That sounds like an incredible new direction to go. This next one is a quick one from David. He says, nice podcast. Keep it up. Support from Zambia. Love to hear it. Where's this one that made me giggle? I've got to go back in time. This one does not have a name to it, but it's from our episode 10, Yacht Show Etiquette and Finding a Boat Daddy, which, by the way, if you're a new listener of Old Money and you have not yet gone back into the archives, there are so many ridiculous, unhinged episodes for you to go live your best life. But this one says, love your podcast and how you share knowledge of such topics. As an older listener, I would love it if you could speak a little slower. It seems as you get excited, you start speaking faster. We all do it. Then I lose what you're saying. This is my cross to bear. This is my Roman Empire. I speak so damn fast and I can't slow down. I apologize. I will try to keep this in mind. And I also invite you to try the 0.75 speed on my voice to see if that calms it down a little bit. Anyway, I have some amazing episodes coming up for you. Stay tuned for next week. I cannot wait to talk to you guys all then. Love you so much, and we'll talk soon. Bye. Look at you investing in your rich life one episode at a time. You're not just listening, you're leveling up. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, or prayers, slide into my inbox at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or in my DMs on Instagram at oldmoneypodcast. If this episode made you laugh, think, or write down a single note, please do me a solid and rate, review, and subscribe. It takes less time than your morning scroll, and it helps this show reach more future millionaires. And speaking of growing the network, please share this with your ambitious bestie, your business buddy, or your secretly rich aunt. Please share the gospel of Old Money, and I will be more grateful than a trust fund kid on distribution day. Thank you for being here. I'm rooting for your bank account, and I will catch you on the next episode of Old Money.
Remember, I am not your lawyer, I am not your tax professional, and I am not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners and their personal and professional development and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice.